This is a very important question. The modern and postmodern ego structure has shifted its basis from the more classical ego in earlier times, which was based on faith. And because in this secular society, science has replaced, for most people at least, religion as the rock of ages, if you will. There are still, of course, people who have a very strong faith in God that has not been dented by materialism or Darwinism or the various paradigms of Newtonian science, mechanistic thinking, and all of that. But for the most part, we have been indoctrinated into a sufficiently fragmented, because science in its current form fragments us, into a certain basis of dependence upon science. And in science, the way to get to a new level of mastery, whether it's in technology or in the art of applying understandings and insights to the practice of life, one requires first the knowledge that creates a paradigm shift. Because if one is living in a paradigm that one has not recognized will not allow one's establishment in egoless presence, because there are assumptions that consciousness is the body or identified with ego thought patterns and conditionings, and that life demands loyalty to certain abstract beliefs. And in the scientific mind frame, there has been a shift, an upward downness, an upside downness of consciousness, in which the abstract thoughts of science have become concretized in the mind. And the most concrete and direct realizations have become abstract, such that in order to reach that which we already are, we have to first put the understanding of that which we are, which is very direct, into a completely abstract form of a symbolic nature that can supersede and integrate the incoherence of the fragmented views of science and perhaps religion and certain fragments of self-identifications and of various other paradigms that we may have picked up along the way, and be able to enable them to point to that direct realization that is so concrete it's prior to thought. Because thought is an abstraction. But the ego lives in thought, so that now presence has become an abstraction because we have made ourselves abstract. We have abstracted our own essence from being into thinking. And we have come to live in a representational field rather than a field of true presence. And so if one is in that situation and captured by the mind's conditioned thought patterns within a paradigm that does not allow one to leave and abide in silence because there are commands of a superego that say you must produce thought, you must be creative, you must be in control, you must always be ahead of the other person, and you must always be able to map out what's happening in a very abstract, sequential planning mode of activity with all kinds of options and backdoors, and all of this multitasking that the ego takes for granted as inherent to the need to protect its territoriality. Once one leaves that behind, one realizes that there are forces, vertices of a command system implicit in the ego's frame of reference, that unless they are cut through understanding, will not give one access to the silence that is one's own birthright, and enable one to be free of the pressures and tendencies to pull oneself back into activity and agitation and mental movement and stirring the waters of one's internal environment because of fear of boredom or of dissolving in too much peace or being overwhelmed by too much love or any of the other fears that the ego has. So I hope I made it clear that I think because of the nature of the current ego structure, we must use thought in order to cut our dependence on thought. And that thought is a part of the wholeness. Understanding is a part of enlightenment and liberation. Liberation doesn't make you stupid, it makes you more intelligent. And if you're more intelligent, you will be able to use thought and understanding in order to help other people gain freedom. So you don't want to abandon the use of thought, but you want to titrate it and use it as the benevolent instrument that it is meant to be, rather than to be plagued by thoughts that keep coming into your mind that you can't stop or change, because you are yourself identified with thought as an artifact that has been produced as a self-image that must react to the thoughts of the other. So I hope that makes it clear, and that this is why jnana yoga, the yoga of understanding, can be an indispensable tool to help people who are stuck with obsessive thinking to use the sword of truth with the power of thought to free them from the dominance of thought over presence. I know that's pretty long-winded and used a lot of thoughts, but I hope that they helped one to get to the root of how you use thought, because you have to use thought as a pointer and as a capacity to cut obsolete false thoughts. But you can't know they're false unless you have the power of discernment, which is clear thought, sattvic thought, that can say, well, this thought and this belief about myself or about my behavior or about how things should be is obsolete, incoherent, and conventional, and belonging to a frame of reference that I no longer have to submit to.